Good afternoon. We're glad you could join us for HP Inc.'s 2016 Annual Meeting of Stockholders. The meeting is now called to order. I'm Meg Whitman, Chairman of HP. I'm joined by Dion Weisler, the CEO, President, and Director of HP, Kim Rivera, our Chief Legal Officer and Corporate Secretary, and Diana Soroka, our Head of Investor Relations. It has been a historic year for the company, with a great deal of progress across all aspects of the business, from announcing the most diverse board in the tech industry to introducing some of our most amazing PC and print products ever. We have much to be proud of with HP, and we're looking forward to walking you through some of the details. Today's virtual meeting is a live webcast. We believe in engaging our shareholders and maximizing their ability to meaningfully engage with us. Virtual meetings are one of the ways we're doing this. Today's session allows our stockholders to participate in the meeting regardless of their location. Not only can you view the meeting, you can also submit questions and vote your shares online before the polls close. Our director nominees, HP executive officers and representatives from our registered public accounting firm, Ernst & Young, are attending today's meeting through the webcast. They will be able to assist with questions during the Q&A portion of the meeting. We have received several questions that were submitted before today's meeting in our pre-meeting stockholder forum online, and we welcome your additional questions. There is a text box on your screen where you can submit your questions throughout the meeting. For questions we're unable to address during today's Q&A, stay tuned. We're planning to post all the questions we received on our investor relations website after the meeting. In short order, we'll post responses. Thank you again for joining us, and let me now turn the meeting over to Kim.
Thank you, Meg. We are conducting the meeting in accordance with HP's bylaws and meeting rules. In order to ensure that the business of the meeting proceeds in an orderly fashion, we ask that you please observe the meeting rules. We've allocated time for Q&A in today's agenda. The Q&A session will be held later in the meeting, prior to the official closing of the polls. As a reminder, you may submit questions at any time prior to the end of the Q&A session, and I see that we're already receiving some questions. Unanswered questions will be answered after the meeting, with responses available on our investor relations portal at www.hp.com/investor/home. It is possible that in today's meeting, including some of our comments and some of our responses to your questions, may include forward-looking statements that are based on certain assumptions and are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. The risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could affect these forward-looking statements include risks that are described in HP's SEC reports, including our first quarter fiscal 2016 Form 10-Q. I'd also like to point out that the information presented at this meeting may include references to amounts that are expressed on a non-GAAP basis. A reconciliation of such non-GAAP amounts to GAAP and other information related to these non-GAAP measures is available on our investor relations website. HP's agents have certified that notice of the meeting was provided starting on February 19th, 2016, to all stockholders of record as of the record date for the meeting, and copies of those certifications are in my possession. I therefore declare that legal notice of the meeting has been duly given. The board of directors has appointed Sarah McDaniel of Broadridge to serve as our Inspector of Election for this meeting. She is present at the meeting today. As required by law, Sarah has taken and signed an oath as Inspector of Election. This document will be filed with the minutes of this meeting. The Inspector of Election has informed me that a majority of the outstanding shares held of record as of close of business on February 5th, 2016, the record date for this meeting, are represented at the meeting. I declare that there is a quorum present and that we may proceed with the business of the meeting. Please remember that you may vote your shares online anytime during this meeting prior to the closing of the polls. There are four items of business on today's agenda. In accordance with HP's bylaws, these are the only proposals to be voted upon at this meeting. The first item of business is to vote on a slate of 13 nominees to the board of directors. The 13 people who have been nominated to serve on the board of directors and who will be voted upon today are Aida Alvarez, Shamit Banerjee, Carl Bass, Robert Bennett, Chip Berg, Stacey Brown Philpott, Stephanie Burns, Marianne Citrino, Raj Gupta, Stacey Mobley, Subra Suresh, Dion Weisler, and Meg Whitman. Their biographies and detailed information about their experience are included in the proxy statement if you'd like to review it. The second item of business is the ratification of the appointment of Ernst & Young LLP as HP's independent registered public accounting firm for fiscal 2016. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge Kirk Parrish, Beth Carr, and Mark Borsos, representatives of Ernst & Young, who are attending today's meeting online. Ernst & Young was responsible for the audit for HP's 2015 fiscal year. The third item of business is an advisory vote on HP's executive compensation. A description of that item of business is in your proxy statement, so I won't review it in detail here. The fourth item of business is a management proposal to approve an amendment to HP's certificate of incorporation to eliminate cumulative voting in director elections. A description of that item of business is in your proxy statement if you would like to review it. I have now described the four items of business that you've been asked to vote on. We will now proceed to the voting on the agenda items that I described. It is approximately 2:07 p.m. Pacific time, and the polls are now open for voting on each of the items of business. If you have previously voted by proxy and do not wish to change your vote, your vote will be cast as you previously instructed, and no further action is needed. If you are a record holder and wish to change your vote, did not send in a proxy, and wish to cast your vote now, or have not already cast your vote using our electronic voting system, you may cast your vote via electronic ballot at hp.onlineshareholdermeeting.com at this or any time until the conclusion of this meeting. You will notice a link to the voting site on your screen. Access to hp.onlineshareholdermeeting.com requires the control number you received prior to this meeting. If you do not indicate the number of shares you intend to vote on your electronic ballot will automatically represent all shares that you are entitled to vote at this meeting. As you navigate to the electronic ballot site and are making your decisions, Dion is going to discuss where HP's business stands today and what we've accomplished since our last annual meeting. And now, over to you, Dion.
Thank you, Kim. It's an incredible time here at HP. Late last year, we successfully completed one of the largest and most complex separations in history, creating two Fortune 100 companies. At HP Inc., we're already seeing the benefits from this separation. We're now able to invest in our business, operate with greater speed and agility, increase R&D and innovation, and focus solely on the printing and personal systems businesses. We believe this singular focus is an important catalyst for accelerated long-term performance, particularly in today's changing market where many of our competitors are fragile or distracted. We have the best product lineup in decades, an incredibly healthy R&D pipeline, an amazing network of more than 250,000 channel partners, and the agility, speed, and flexibility needed to accelerate our business and quickly adapt to market and customer dynamics. As I like to say, we're building a company with the heart and the energy of a startup and the brains and muscle of a Fortune 100 corporation. In our hearts, we're recapturing HP's entrepreneurial spirit and unleashing energetic creativity and innovation. Brains means we have the wisdom and the know-how to continue as industry leaders, and muscles means we have the strength and operational capabilities to get it done. Our long-term strategy is very clear and consistent. We operate in large markets with two core franchises, printing and personal systems. For both of those core franchises, I see our business evolving on three pillars. One, we aggressively protect, defend, and innovate in the core. we must be excellent here, as this is the vast amount of our revenue and profit. While there are difficulties and challenges in today's market, this is an environment where we know how to win, gain share, and out-execute our competitors. Two, we leverage our strengths to expand in new growth markets and capture natural adjacencies. Three, we create the future with amazing new products and services in markets that we can lead and transform. This is pure invention and category creation. Underlying all three strategic pillars is the foundation of services and solutions. In the 156 days since the introduction of HP Inc., we've had business success and notable achievements across all parts of our business, product, channel, and social responsibility efforts. In competitive markets, innovation and differentiation is a key ingredient for success. In printing, we're number one globally and continue to build on our industry leadership. Just a few weeks ago, we completely reinvented business printing with the most important launch in a decade. We refreshed our inkjet products, our Jet Intelligence laser portfolio, and introduced the highly differentiated PageWide printers. We also launched the DeskJet GT, targeting the SMB segment in emerging markets with a continuous ink supply system to meet the needs of these high-usage customers. Additionally, we launched the PageWide Excel product in our graphics portfolio for our initial entry into the technical production market. These fast, large-format mono and color printers are expected to disrupt a $1 billion market and achieve a leading share position. In the coming months, we'll make other strategic announcements around our 3D printing. In personal systems, we maintained our number one position in commercial globally with an all-time high share of 24% in the calendar fourth quarter of 2015. This success is due in part to the most innovative, sleekly designed portfolio we've ever had. This year, at the Consumer Electronics Show, we had an outstanding show of new products and took home more than a dozen awards for the EliteBook Folio, the world's thinnest and lightest business class notebook. Demonstrating the consumerization of IT, we took best of show for a business class product. At Mobile World Congress, we announced the HP Elite X3, a revolutionary category-creating mobile solution that brings together mobility and computing in a truly meaningful way. It stole the show with more than 24 awards, and some in the industry call it a standard for commercial mobility. Running the Windows 10 mobile platform, the HP Elite X3 unites phablet, laptop, and desktop experiences into a single device. These are just a few examples of how strong our innovative portfolio is. Combined with a healthy R&D pipeline, we are well positioned to take advantage of opportunities in the market. But innovative products and solutions are just one part of the picture. HP is an incredibly robust go-to-market and channel network that we're strengthening. Today, approximately 80% of our business is sold with or through the channel. By our estimates, that number will climb to 87% by the end of this year, driven by a focus on omni-channel capabilities. This focus enables transforming HP.com into a destination where global customers can discover, interact, and purchase from our portfolios. The orders will be fulfilled by HP directly or through our channel partners. And finally, at HP, sustainability serves as a guiding principle for the way we operate and how we do business. Most recently, we announced our pledge to achieve 100% renewable electricity usage in global operations. As an important first step, we plan to reach the 40% renewable electricity mark by 2020. 20. These are just some of the areas where we are delivering for our customers, for our partners, employees, and our shareholders. Now, let me talk about the business. In Q1, we delivered non-GAAP diluted net earnings per share of 36 cents in the middle of our outlook range. We returned more than $1 billion of capital to shareholders through our planned quarterly dividend and aggressive share buybacks, taking advantage of the stock price. And while revenue was challenged by market contraction, in PCs and core printing, we delivered constant currency revenue growth in our Asia Pacific region and in strategic growth segments of the portfolio, including commercial mobility, retail solutions, graphics, and services. In the fall, at our security analyst meeting, we laid out the financial framework for our business and what you could expect from us. We're executing on that strategy. We intend to grow profitable market share, deliver best-in-class results, and grow operating earnings over time with a deep focus on operating efficiencies. This means constantly looking at ways to remove costs structurally, operationally, within the bill of materials systemically, and on a deal-by-deal basis. We will continue to be disciplined with capital allocation. In this business, our capital expenditure requirements are modest, and we determine all of our investments against a return-based framework. Our commitment is to return 50 to 75% of our annual free cash flow. And for FY16, we are on track to returning 75% of free cash flow to our shareholders. And finally, we will continue to make prudent investments to support our long-term profitability and fuel growth opportunities in the core, in natural adjacencies, and for our future. This is an amazing time to be at HP and to be a leader in a dynamic industry. Our goal is to leverage change, not just to get better and stronger together, but to be the best and the strongest. I remain confident in the future. We laid out a strategy at our security analyst meeting and are delivering the results we outlined amidst a continued tough market backdrop. This team has a clear strategy that leverages our strengths and innovations to protect our core, capture growth opportunities in natural adjacencies, and create future with new categories, creating products and services in the market that we can lead and transform. With the strongest and most innovative product portfolio we've ever had, we are focused on execution, taking costs out of the business, and delivering innovations that amaze our customers and partners. This is a new HP, full of innovation, focused on accelerating and delivering returns to our shareholders. Thank you very much, and now back to you, Kim.
Thank you, Dion. Now we'll move to the Q&A portion of our agenda, which will be moderated by Dion and Diana. As a reminder, the polls will continue to be open during Q&A, and you may continue to vote your shares. You can continue to submit your questions during Q&A as well. And now, over to Diana.
Thank you, Kim. So, Dan, we're going to start with some questions we received in advance of today's meeting. So the first one, in as much detail as possible, how are the 3D printers being developed different from the current technologies?
That's a great question. We could actually spend a lot of time on it. We are really focused on what I would call solving the key core fundamental problems of speed, quality, and cost that I believe have held the industry back. Technically, we're really innovative, and at the heart of our technology is what we call multi-jet fusion. And multi-jet fusion has more than 5,000 patents, and it leverages off four generations of our thermal inkjet technology that we have inside our printing business. So we're leveraging all that intellectual property from the core, and we're bringing it across into the 3D printing market. And we can do this in a way that's very different to the sort of systems that are used today, the FDM system or the laser sintering system. It's a brand new technology. It's homegrown here at HP. And the real differentiator is what we call voxel level control. And a voxel is to a 3D printed object what a pixel is to a screen. And we're able to really change the attributes of a voxel. So in the first generation of products, you could imagine that we will have voxels that are monochrome, they're kind of black and white. In the future, we'll have voxels in any color. We'll be able to conceptually change the translucency of a voxel, the electrical conductivity of a voxel, and that enables us to create parts and applications for the commercial space. We have a deep know-how here. It's really sort of centered around fluidics, chemistry, material sciences, leveraging our supply chain and our scale. We've received very positive feedback from our strategic partners as well as the ecosystem, so we're excited by what we're doing in this space.
Great. And there was a related question also. When are the new 3D printers expected to launch?
So we are on track to delivering sort of the first products. We have five strategic customers that we've been working on for some time, and they will get their first units coming up in a very short while now as we continue to learn and iterate the solutions and the applications that we're developing. And by the end of this year, we'll have availability for a broader customer set. So we are on track to what we said we would do. It's very consistent with the message that I gave all of our shareholders at the security analyst meeting.
Okay, great. So let's move on then. How does HP plan on penetrating markets that they're already in but are dominated by other hardware and software tech companies?
Okay, so we are number one or number two in all of the core markets in which we operate in today. And I think we think very carefully about which of those markets we have a right to succeed in, where we have strong intellectual property and know-how. We also spend a lot of time, because the art of strategy is as much about choosing what not to do as what to do, so we're very clear about that. And as an example, we said we won't get broadly into the smartphone business, but what you would have seen us do at Mobile World Congress a few weeks ago was launch the Elite X3. Now, the Elite X3, at least as the single device, looks like a smartphone. And indeed, it has smartphone capabilities, but it's not a smartphone. We've created an entirely new category, and that is invention. And this has the ability to be docked. It has enough compute power that it opens up desktop capability, and then you can kind of take it and connect it to a what looks like a normal notebook, but the brains is actually still in that handheld device, and it has a wireless link to that sort of empty notebook that allows you to have a bigger screen and a notebook type experience, but the device and the horsepower and the memory and the storage is all on that single device. So it's not a smartphone, it's not a desktop, and it's not a notebook, it's all three. So can we participate in these markets? Absolutely we can, but we're not doing it the traditional way where we're inventing. And thirdly, we just need to continue to execute on our strategy. Our strategy is predicated on being excellent in the core. Our core business is still an exciting business. Yes, it's a mature category, but it's still markets that are over $415 billion in total available market size. And we have to be excellent in the core. We have to have little sprinkles of magic that differentiate our products. We need to take costs out of the system. We need to continue to innovate in the core. But that's not enough. We need to have an eye on where we're going to grow our company in the future. And we've selected three areas where we're looking to grow. In the copier market, we're broadly in the printing market. We're going to get into the copier market. That exposes a $55 billion TAM that today we are under-indexed in. The second area of growth is commercial mobility. The product that you have in front of you here that you're taking questions on is one of those products. It's a mobility product, as is the Elite X3 that I talked about. And broadly, this market hasn't yet been really largely defined, but almost every organization is going to leverage commercial mobility to transform the way their businesses work, to transform the way a hospital works, the way a retail point of sale store works in the future, the way education works, and we want to be at the forefront of that commercial mobility. And the third area of growth is our graphics business. It's a business that's been doing incredibly well. It's been growing at double digits for many quarters. We see this disrupting the traditional analog printing market, and we see that as a source of growth into the near future. And then the third pillar, is, of course, the future technologies. We talked about 3D printing as the question came up. That's one area of growth, not for the $5 billion TAM that it is today, total available market, but for the $12 trillion market, manufacturing market, that we can tap into in the future as we build a much better mousetrap and democratize manufacturing. And then we're going to leverage our vast channel, more than 250,000 channel partners around the world, to amplify all of the terrific innovation that our engineers are developing.
Very good. It all sounds very exciting, so I'm sure this is a question many are thinking. How soon will HP return then to the booming, vibrant status? How long will the recovery take?
Look, it's fair to say we operate, as I mentioned, in large and mature markets, and these markets are changing very quickly. We need to, as a result of that, continue to focus on being very fit, taking out non-revenue generating costs out of the business so that we can focus on core growth and future. We need to continue to invest in innovation, in sales, in marketing, so that we can amplify our effort. And we need to execute on our strategy that we outlined at the Security Analyst Meeting around core growth and future. And we need to consistently grow and deliver around what we said we would do. And when we do that, we deliver long-term value to our shareholders. So that's what we're all focused on.
Okay, good. So switching gears, would you consider making a board position for a rank and file employee? And if not, how do you balance the interests of this stakeholder group?
So first, let me say how proud and humbled I am to be on the board of directors of HP Inc. I think the board, led by Meg, did just a tremendous job of appointing the board members of HP Inc. It is, I think, heralded as one of the most diverse, if not the most diverse, boards in corporate America. We have material scientists, we have experts in fluidics, we have millennials on the board, we have people that are deeply, with a deep understanding of the 3D printing ecosystem, financial experts, strategy experts, sitting CEOs, those that are very versed in policy and governance. And so I think this board that has come together in short order here is already being incredibly effective. And they're being effective because they are listening. We expose them to all levels of the organization. They meet frequently with my leadership team. They meet with other members of the team. But I would say broadly, my entire leadership team spends a lot of time and energy out with our partners, our customers, our employees, and our shareholders. I was last week in Europe. I leave right after this shareholder meeting and I'm in South America, and I'm hearing about what's important to all of our stakeholders, and as is our board, they're out there talking to our shareholders and our customers and partners as well. And so I think we're very accessible. We want to hear from all of our stakeholders, and I look forward to doing that in the future.
Okay. So the first question we're getting from the room, how do you plan to enhance HP's culture of innovation?
Yeah, look, I think innovation, this is a company that just has such a rich heritage in innovation, started more than 76 years ago, just around the corner here in Palo Alto. And I think as we've separated these organizations, both Meg with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and us with HP Inc., really did that with a view on how we could innovate at a much faster clip for both companies, with a square focus on the diverging market needs of our customer base. And so we developed a framework inside the organization, and it's a three-way framework, and it means that we, each division that has to produce innovation, whether it be a product division, a service and support division, a supply chain division, has to think about sort of wave one, the here and now. They need to have a view on the future to anticipate where the markets are going to be, and then finally they need to create categories again. We used to be in the category creation business. We returned to being in the category creation business when we launched Sprout, an immersive computing platform, a year ago. And with the Elite X3, that's not a PC, not a desktop, and not a notebook. It's all three. So we've got to be in the category creation business, but we have to innovate with business models, with supply chain, with logistics routes, as well.
So coming in, what makes you optimistic about your end markets?
These markets are still very large and dynamic markets. Printing and personal systems are not going away. They're a big part of how we all work and interface with our lives. I like to think of our company and the products that we create as being very personal. That's a very personal device that you're using there. You interface with it, you get your information stores from it, and whilst our printing devices, you might not think of them as personal, what they produce as coming out as a printed page is very personal. You created it. It was born from your imagination. And so those markets are not going away. We need to embrace them. We need to differentiate in them. And then we need to have a view into the future of what else we will create.
Okay. Well, that was actually our last question. So I thank you very much. So this concludes our question and answer session. Thank you all for participating today. For questions that we were unable to answer during the Q&A session today, please check our Investor Relations website, where we'll be posting copies of the questions we received as well as our responses. And with that, I'll hand it back to Kim.
Thank you, Diana, and thank you, Dion. We will be closing the polls shortly. Therefore, I would ask that you complete your electronic ballot on hp.onlineshareholdermeeting.com at this time. You must ensure you submit your electronic ballot in order for your votes to be counted. The Inspector of Election will not accept votes submitted after the closing of the polls. Please note that any votes via electronic ballot submitted today will be subject to final verification by the Inspector of Election. There being no further ballots, I hereby declare that it is approximately 2:32 p.m. Pacific Time, and the polls are now closed for voting on the items of business. All electronic ballots and proxies are now in the custody of the Inspector of Election. Meg will now announce the preliminary results of the vote. Over to you, Meg.
The results to be announced are based on the preliminary tally provided by our Inspector of Election. All votes are subject to final count certified by the Inspector. Let's start with the votes cast for the election of directors.
Regarding the Proposal 1, the election of directors, each director was elected with not fewer than 1,218,591,921 shares.
Based on the vote, I declare that all 13 director nominees have been elected to serve for the next year, to hold office until their successors are duly elected and qualified. Now I'll ask Sarah to announce the results of the vote on the ratification of Ernst & Young as HP's independent registered public accounting firm.
The independent registered public accounting firm, Ernst & Young LLP, was ratified with 1,474,998,720 shares.
Based on the vote, I declare that the appointment of Ernst & Young as HP's independent registered public accounting firm has been ratified. Now I will ask Sarah to announce the results of the advisory vote on executive compensation.
The amendment to approve on an advisory basis the company's executive compensation passed with 1,203,855,544 shares.
Thank you, Sarah. Now I will ask Sarah to announce the results of the proposal to approve an amendment to HP's Certificate of Incorporation to eliminate cumulative voting in director elections.
The proposal to approve an amendment to the company's Certificate of Incorporation to eliminate cumulative voting passed with 1,176,439,916 shares.
Based on the vote, I declare that the proposal has been approved. It is now 2:35 p.m., and I declare that the business of today's meeting is concluded. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. We are sincerely grateful for your interest and continued confidence in HP.